Our gospel lesson today is Mark 7, verses 24 to 30. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. From there, Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. A woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon the meditations of my mouth and of our hearts. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So last week in James, we talked about how it's not enough to just hear God's word. We are called to go out and do it. So what does that mean to you? What does that include? Of course, we listen to God for the specifics of any situation, but broadly speaking, how do we know what to do as Christians? If someone asked you that, what would you say? Love God, love your neighbor as yourself, do what Jesus would do, show kindness, humility, justice? It's a good question to think about because it informs our actions. And today we hear from James that our faith should be matched with our actions, our works. It's not enough to say we believe in a loving God. We have to act out God's love. Listen to James again. If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. In other words, if we believe everyone is a child of God, we need to treat everyone as a child of God. A few years ago, Reverend Jill Duffield and the Presbyterian Outlook magazine published a top 10 list for living out your faith. Here's what she said. 1, love God with your whole heart. 2, love your neighbor as yourself. 3, treat everyone as a child of God. 4, care more about a good name than great riches. 5, care for the poor, don't take advantage of them. 6, work for fairness and justice for all. 7, be generous. 8, be kind and compassionate. 9, help people who are suffering. And 10, try to do and say what Jesus would do and say. These are all basics of Christian faith, but they aren't easy, are they? It's a challenge to be a Christian. It takes time, energy, and effort, just like anything else important and meaningful in our lives. As Presbyterians, we often emphasize our intellect and what we believe in our heads, which is very important. But James reminds us that we can't just believe, it has to translate into action, into good works. Now, he does not say that those good works earn our way to heaven, but that our actions reveal our faith. Like we heard last week, we need faith and works, belief and action. And then there's this crazy gospel lesson from Mark. When I was reading it this week, I thought, did Jesus find it challenging to put his faith into action? Some might say that our story today shows he was challenged, at least on this occasion. In fact, when I read the story, I thought I'd have to give Jesus a failing grade in Faith 101. He looks at a desperate Gentile mother and calls her a dog, a slanderous term that Jews often use to refer to non-Jews or Gentiles. This is not the Jesus that most of us know and love. I want you to do something right now. I want you to close your eyes and picture Jesus. What does he look like? Does he look calm? Is he wearing a robe? Does he have his arms out? Is he surrounded by children or lambs? Where do we get our images of Jesus? One Presbyterian pastor says most of our images are very similar and they often represent the cover of a children's Bible. Others say we're conditioned by paintings and stained glass pictures of Jesus, who is always calm, sometimes in a white robe, surrounded by lambs or children, and often he is blonde and blue-eyed. I have to admit that I picture Jesus in a blue robe, probably something I saw in a book or painting. He always wears sandals. He's calm, much calmer than me, and I picture him dark complexion, dark hair, and eyes. We all have a picture of Jesus, but is that the Jesus in this story? I'm wondering, what's wrong with this Jesus? Maybe he's tired. Maybe he's worn out. Mark says he was trying to be incognito when this woman approached him. He has just finished a load of ministry, so maybe he's not up to par when she asks for healing for her daughter. But Jesus is pretty clear in his response to her request. He has come for God's people of Israel. They are the children of God. She is a Gentile, therefore a dog. But this Syrophoenician woman is not fazed by his reply. I love that. She's tough. She's persistent. She kind of reminds me of the Luke 18 widow who keeps knocking on the door of the judge until he relents and gives her justice. Which is all pretty amazing because this woman has absolutely nothing going for her. She is a woman, so just a piece of property in that day and time. She is alone talking to a man instead of sending her request through a man. She is a Gentile, not a Jew. She is Syrophoenician. So her gender, class, religion, and nationality are all working against her. And add to that the fact that she has a demon-possessed daughter. And well, we could just call her a lost cause in those days. But this is Jesus. So we expect more, right? Instead, we're left wondering, why didn't he say something like, even though you are the wrong gender, race, class, and nationality, I will heal your daughter? Why indeed? We may never know. Because Jesus is very, very human in this story. So I wonder what else might be going on here. Why could he be acting this way? Well, what if he's holding up a mirror to each one of us? Aren't we the ones who would exclude a woman like this? We are the ones who do exclude people all the time. What if Jesus is acting like us when this woman approaches him? He says, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." And what if this woman is just the person to confront that attitude? For she does not give up or give in. She says, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Now that takes guts and desperation. She is, after all, fighting for the life of her daughter, and as a mom, I can identify with the desire to do absolutely everything to help your child. She does. This mom has guts and incredible faith. It is at that moment of her persistent faith that Jesus says to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home and found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Now, I think we could learn a lot from this story, just like every story in Scripture. A lot about persistent faith, about courage, about reaching out to Jesus in our time of need. There are reasons this story was told by Mark. It could have easily been edited out of Jesus' life and ministry. It's a scandalous story on many levels. But what if we learn from it? First, the persistence. Do we have that kind of persistent faith? Do we have the guts to not give up on God? Because this all too human Jesus says to this Gentile woman, "You know what? For your faith, I will heal your daughter. For not giving up, your daughter has been made well." And isn't this a great story for people who think it's not okay to argue with God? Oh, yes, it is. We can always argue with God. There's plenty of precedent in the Bible. Jesus will not only listen, he will respond. He did for her, he can for you. You know what else we see in the story? She was persistent in another way. She was persistent in breaking down barriers. Jesus was a Jewish man. She was a Syrophoenician mother of a demon-possessed daughter. They were beyond different. So who are the people who are so different from us? Who are those people who might scare us, unnerve us, or make us uncomfortable? Think about that for a minute, because we all have those people. We do segregate people in our lives on the basis of all kinds of differences. We assign worth to some and less worth to others. We all do this. Why? Well, aren't we very tribal as human beings? We prefer to be in our group, right? Which has really gotten out of hand with all the nationalism and populism that's happening all around us right now. None of it is helpful because it prevents us from seeing everyone else as a child of God. It pits neighbor against neighbor as enemies and builds dividing walls of our own making. It also leads to this evil desire for power or control that comes from making some people better than others in our hearts and minds, or from treating some people as less than others. But all the divisions, all the tribalism, these things are human constructs, not ours, not God's. And this woman pushes back against it with Jesus. In the first century, the people who were excluded were the poor, the orphan, the mentally ill, the sick, the women, the stranger. They were all on the outside looking in, all excluded from community. In the 21st century, the people who are excluded are in many ways the same, right? We still exclude the poor, the mentally ill, but we also exclude people like LGBTQ people, people of color, people of other nationalities, people who are addicted, people who are homeless, people who are immigrants. In many ways, these people are on the outside looking in, and all too often, they are excluded from community. And it appears at first that Jesus is upholding divisions like this. But isn't it interesting how his tone changes? That wall between her and the children of Israel, she doesn't give up. She argues about that wall, claiming her right to receive God's gifts, even if it's crumbs from a table. She is essentially saying to Jesus, "I too am a child of God." And he agrees. He has a change of heart. He does not scold this brave and desperate woman. When she persists, what does he do? He rewards her faith and persistence. He says, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So Jesus starts by being all too human in this story, and then he shows us what he will go on to show throughout his ministry. That God's love and mercy and healing, it's for all people. And God is a God who rewards persistent faith. You know what I take home from this? Don't ever give up, especially on God. We are called to persist in faith, live our faith, stay true to our faith. And we are called to break down any divisions and treat all people as children of God. It's all easier said than done, but worthwhile every moment of every day. That is the good news of our gospel today. And for it, all God's people can say together, Amen.